Joining us in the studio is Gareth Green. Gareth is Ireland's number one wheelchair tennis player. Gareth, you're very, very welcome to Near FM. How are you?
I'm grand. Thanks, Mark. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
No, you're very, very welcome. Gareth, wheelchair tennis, well, tennis in general isn't a sport that's usually in the forefront of people in Ireland. It's just not a sport that people are usually in play. But you've just told us that you were at a tournament last week and you've just broke up in to the top 200 wheelchair players in the world. That's a magnificent achievement. Fair play to you.
Cheers, thank you. I've just come back from Bucharest in Romania. Uh-huh. That was a futures tournament. So it didn't go exactly the way I wanted it, but most tournaments don't. They either do or they do really well, or, you know. So, But yeah, what I did do was reached the second round, so I got enough points then to push me up into the top 200. So it's not 100% official yet, so yeah. I'm still waiting for the rankings to come out.
Well, that's brilliant. Maybe just give us a little bit. We'll talk about, you know, your plans for the future, and you're really pushing to qualify for Rio next year. But tell us a little bit first of how the whole thing came about, how you got into the wheelchair tennis.
Okay, well, I've always been involved in sports. I'm disabled from birth, so I remember being at Irish Wheelchair Association when I was about 6 or 7, and they've always been great with sports activities like basketball, athletics, swimming, all that kind of stuff. So I've been playing basketball for quite a while, and a friend had actually, Irish Wheelchair had started up a wheelchair tennis training session in Carrick Moines Club in conjunction with Carrick Moines. And a basketball friend had been saying, come on, we'll give it a try. Like, and I'd always liked tennis from watching it at Wimbledon, you know, as a kid, and trying to go out on the street and playing it and failing miserably. So, literally, I've been putting it off for ages, and then all of a sudden I said, right, I'll go. 2 weeks after that, I was in the Irish Open, which was the national sort of tournament for wheelchair tennis. So, I lost badly, but I was addicted straight away. So, so after that, I've been playing sort of on and off for about six, seven years. And then I got the really lucky chance to volunteer with Paralympics Ireland in the London 2012 Paralympics. And basically, I'd always had a dream of being at Paralympics from being a kid. I've watched Beijing, I watched the previous ones on TV, and I'd record them and rewatch them. And, when I got to London, that just changed my life completely. I had no doubts then what I wanted to do, and seeing the stage, being part of Team Ireland. Even though I was working, I wasn't there to do the sport. I wanted to be on the other side of the fence. Just seeing the sheer magnitude of that, it puts things in perspective.
That lit the fuels for you then. You thought, 4 years' time, I'm going to Rio.
Yeah, well, it made me decide on that to follow my dream of wheelchair tennis, to try and, you know, to make it to the top, to just play. I wanted to play internationally. I wanted to travel, I wanted to, you know, compete. So I'd always been kind of the usual thing of, like, making excuses, procrastinating, you know, all that kind of stuff. But London, just, Paralympics changes you. Anybody, never mind. I've been around disability all my life. I thought I'd seen everything. You go to Paralympics and it's on a different level.
So you come back from London in 2012. You've got your mind made up. This is what we want to do. How's the road been, and how tough has it been? Maybe, you know, just give people an idea of what goes into getting to a Paralympic Games.
Well, when I came back from London, it was funny because when I'd made the decision, things just start happening. Really coincidental stuff. Really good things like support from people coming out of nowhere. But basically, I started straight in to train. I was working full time at the time, so getting up at 6 a.m. to be on court for 6 a.m. So I could train for 2 hours and then go to work. That was the killer, especially in winter. I had an awful lot of volume to make up because starting a sport late, even though I'd always been sporting experience. Tennis is an incredibly hard game, mm-hmm. wheelchair tennis is even harder. So you've an awful lot of ground to make up. But yeah, the role has been brilliant. It's the best decision I ever made.
Just tell the listeners what you did today. You won't have to be telling me and Dara what you did today. Just tell them.
Well, today I was on court from 9:30. I trained for about 3 hours. This is in Westwood in Clontarf. I got some food. I went back up to the gym for about another hour. Back down again for some more food, and then try and rest a bit, and then the drive to here. So that would be.
Sometimes I think, you know, people probably think, you know, they just turn up or whatever, but it's a huge commitment to time and effort.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working part-time, so I'm working 3 days a week. So the 2 days that I'm not working, well, sorry, the 2 days in the middle of the week, they're hard mm-hmm. days, and then my weekends are hard days as well. So basically, I train 5 days a week and I have 2 days off. And those 2 days on Monday and Friday, but like the guys that are on tour, they're at the top, like mm-hmm. they're on another level again. They're like, they're full time athletes, which is what I'm aiming to be, but mm-hmm. obviously, you know, with a part time job, it's not ideal.
I'll tell you, it's tough.
You were saying off air before we started about the tournament structures,
sure.
and how you're going to have to go about to actually qualify.
Yeah.
For a Paralympics. Do you want to just explain that again just for
people
well, listening?
To be honest, wheelchair tennis follows the able-bodied version nearly identically, mm-hmm. Except just on a slightly smaller scale, because obviously the numbers wouldn't be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the ITF, which is the International Tennis Federation, they have a structure of tournaments, so the bottom would be futures. The next up would be an ITF 3 and then 2 and 1 and then a Super Series and then a Grand Slam. And every stage of those tournaments that go upwards, you gain more points and gain more prize money for each tournament win. So the ranking process to qualify for Rio is, apart from the selection of your Paralympic body, is basically I have to reach the top 34 in the world. Inside that top 34, automatic qualification for Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that would be wildcard application, which is my plan B. So
yeah.
For me to qualify, basically my plan is playing futures and ITF 2s and 1s, which is a staggered approach to you know, competing. So I'm getting top level experience with ITF 1s and 2s, and then I go back down to futures, and it'll help me sort of maybe progress more. So
yeah. Now when you go from futures to ITF, wasn't it?
ITF
1
and
2. How big a difference is, say, the step up in quality?
It's very big.
Yeah.
Like an ITF 1, it will attract top players because there's more points available.
Yeah.
So there is also less ITF 1s and 2s than there are futures, because futures would be for helping players, allowing players the opportunity to develop. So futures you could have from maybe anything from the bottom up to 300, up to maybe 200, top 100. ITF 1s and 2s, you would have the rest. You would have top 200 upwards. Mm-hmm. I'm at a tournament in Italy in a month's time, and the world number 2 is there, the world number 5, the world number 6. So it's incredibly tough competition, like.
And the points that you'd get to move up in the rankings, now that you're coming closer to the Paralympics, are the points now increased?
No.
They're all the same throughout the year?
They stay the same, yeah. Like, obviously, you play harder tournaments, you get better points per win, so but it's also riskier because you pay an awful lot of money to go to a tournament, and you could draw the world number 1 in the first round, mm-hmm. and be beaten, and you would only get like 2 points for it. If you go to a futures and win a first round, you could get 20 points. So you know, the comparison is, it's kind of a gamble. You really don't know what you know it's only really experienced players that knowing what are the best tournaments to go.
That's what I wanted to hit on with, you know, and it's hugely important that we make sure we mention this. You're saying about travelling to all these tournaments.
Sure.
There's obviously a huge amount of cost involved. Do you get any funding, or how do you manage?
No, I don't get any funding.
Okay.
Basically, there's no structure for wheelchair tennis, so
I see.
Usually what would happen is the NGB of the sport would be, in this case, Tennis Ireland. But for, say, for athletics, there would be Athletics Ireland, and they would look after all the wheelchair athletes and whatever. There'd be a structure in place for them to apply for funding to, say, Sports Council, and that way then they get direct funding for wheelchair athletes or visually impaired or whatever. But unfortunately for me, there's no structure there whatsoever. This is part of what I'm trying to change as well. So hopefully,
when you qualify,
that can create a path for people to follow. I mean, I did a wheelchair tennis camp for juniors in Westwood, which is brilliant. We had 16 kids play tennis for the first time ever, and they loved it. I'm out to NRH, the National Rehab Hospital, next weekend. They have their championships, and I'm doing a tennis demo for people with newly acquired disabilities. So it's a great sport for rehab. It's a great sport for playing with your friends. Yeah. It's a great sport for competing, you know.
So, to get through everything you need to get through, you know, getting to tournaments and everything, do you have one or two sponsors who support you?
Thankfully, I was sponsored my chair by a company called Momentum Healthcare.
Excellent.
They very kindly paid for my tennis chair, which was roughly in the region of nearly €6,000. So I would not have that type of money to spend on a chair. It's a custom built chair.
Yeah.
It's made an awful lot of difference. I have Martin Evans Sports, which helped me with stringing.
I know, in fairness, name them out. They're supporting you and they're giving you a few bobs.
I'm self-funded. The biggest costs for me apart from the chair, but the biggest costs are travel, flights, and then next after that is tournament with hotels. So on a tournament, European tournament, Bucharest costs €700. It's not always that bad, but sometimes the flights just
if you have to connect or whatever.
French flights could be France. French flights could be £200, and then the tournament might be another £200. So it's okay, but it literally the only way I can qualify is by playing tournaments.
Yeah. Well, listen, we wish you the absolute best of luck, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on you and watching you throughout the next year to see how you go on. But if people want to support you, how do they do it?
I'd be really appreciated if anyone could help me in any way possible. I do have a Pledge Sports page.
Okay.
So if people go to pledgesports.org, and basically there's a picture of me with an Ireland flag on it, they click my profile, then they can donate whatever they want. A huge thank you to everyone who's supported me so far. But if I don't get more funding, then it's not going to happen for me. So
And it's Garrett, Garreth, and Green,
Grwene. But yeah. I mean, on Pledge Sports, I think I'm one of the newest ones, so I think I'm fairly new.
Fairly top.
You're not going to be confused. You see wheelchair tennis, you'll see an Irish flag and stuff. So,
do you have any sort of social media so people can follow sort of your journey too?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Facebook, Garrett Green Wheelchair Tennis.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter. I think it's Garage Tennis.
It is, well done.
Tennis. And my website as well is garrethgreen.ie. So it's all there.
Perfect.
Loads of ways for people to follow you, Garrett. Listen, thanks so much for coming into us. And as I say, going to be watching you, keeping an eye on you. And no doubt, well, I promise you, we'll hopefully talk to you at least once more before you do go to Rio next year. We're not going to say if you're going to go to Rio next year. You're going to be a trailblazer for Ireland in wheelchair tennis, and we'll all support you 100%. Garrett, thanks so much for coming into us tonight.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.